In the year 2018, we had a few of our church family, as we will call it, that graduated from this life and are now experiencing the bliss of heaven. And one of those family members was a beloved man by the name of Shelby Kinder. And we miss him, and certainly we thank him for his faithful service to our church and to the Lord and to his family. But those of us that knew Shelby for a long time, we enjoyed his wit. We enjoyed his just his laughter in the sense of always kind of poking fun and making fun of different things. And I was visiting Shelby one time, and I shared this in his funeral last year, but I was visiting one time, and the nurse was taking care of him, and he looked back to the nurse and he said, "You see that guy sitting over there?" And she said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "Well, that's our pastor." And she said, "Well, that's great. Well, good to meet you, sir." And I said, "It's good to meet you, ma'am." And he said, "Well, he ain't much, but that's all we got, you know," and that's what he said. I was visiting him in the emergency room one time, and a lady was taking care of him, and he wasn't feeling very good at all and had pneumonia. And again, he said, "Ma'am, you see that guy standing at the end of my bed?" I said, "You know who that is?" And she said, "Well, no, sir, I don't." I said, "Well, that's my pastor." And she said, "Well, again, it's nice to meet you." And I said, "Again, it's nice to meet you." And said, and he responded back to her and said, "Well, you know why he's here? You know how I knew he would come see me in the emergency room?" And she said, "Well, I have no idea." He said, "It's because I tithe." That's what he said. "It's because I tithe." And so I use that thought as a true thought because he did tithe, but I use that as a springboard to go into my message today. And I again continue in this New Year's teaching series about habits, these small disciplines that yield these big results. And I said to you over the last couple of weeks that a habit or a discipline is a training that you and I put ourselves under that's designed to produce some kind of a behavior in us, or some kind of a pattern of behavior, a character trait that is beneficial to us. Now, over the last couple of weeks, I have asked you questions as sermon titles, as message titles, to get you pointed in the right direction. So I ask you the first Sunday, where will you be next Sunday? And we specifically talked about church attendance and your importance and the need of being faithful to be in God's house. Last Sunday, I asked you, where will you be serving next Sunday? And we were talking about this idea of service in the church and serving the Lord. And so today I ask you another question, and the question is the title of my message this morning, and it simply is entitled this: what will you give next Sunday? What will you give next Sunday? I invite you to take your Bible and go with me in the Old Testament to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to be there in just a few moments. Today, as I think about this message, I want to add to my own personal testimony that I've shared with you over these last 3 weeks. And I said to you that much of my spiritual journey and much of my spiritual development, I can trace back to honestly being faithful to be in church every time that I possibly could. As I grew in the Lord, as I grew just even in age, I tried to get involved with as much as possible, and I tried to serve wherever that I could. And that faithfulness in church and church attendance and being involved in serving, I promise you, enabled me to grow and to develop into the person that I ultimately am today. Well, if I could add to another building block in my own testimony, I can tell you that since Paula and I have been married, and even before that, I've tried to as consistently, as faithfully tithe to the Lord as I possibly could. And have I always been perfect in that? I haven't. But at the same time, there is a consistent pattern of faithfulness of being able to tithe to the Lord. And I promise you, not only have I been able to worship the Lord by tithing, I've been able to allow God to prove himself to me, to provide not only just my financial needs, but to provide so many wonderful things. And I've seen God's glory and God's power shown in so many different ways in my life and even through my life, just by the simple fact of being obedient to God's word. And so today, the thoughts of that are the thoughts that really permeate every message that I share with you in this Habits sermon series. And so today, if I'm preaching to you pastorally, I can tell you that the use of money in the Bible is equated to the principle of stewardship. And stewardship simply says that God made everything, God owns everything, and He has allowed you and I to be managers, to be stewards, if you will, of the possessions that He has placed in our hands. And one day, we will give an account of how we have spent, how we have used, how we have how we've used what God has blessed us with, and that's going to happen. But I'll also tell you that the instruction about money begins there in the Old Testament with this idea of a tithe. And a tithe was a priority with God. A tithe was a way of proving who God was and His faithfulness to us and His generosity and His power upon us. But it was also a way that God used the financial resources, just even the physical resources, to continue the ministry and continue building the kingdom of God. As you go into the New Testament, and Paul kind of shifts to this idea of grace giving, not just giving a 10% tithe, but giving more than that, as God has blessed us with His grace, that we're to give abundantly, he says. And so as he writes there in the New Testament, he tells us that when we give, we're to give cheerfully. He says that we're to give faithfully. He tells us that we are also to give generously. We're to give globally, and we're to give sacrificially. And so as you go from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, you're going to find those patterns, those principles that are taught to us. And so if I'm preaching to you pastorally this morning, I'm preaching to you those truths. But in addition to that, I really want to preach to you personally. And I've tried to be personal throughout this teaching series to help you just see what God has done in my life and through my life, and to try to encourage you to take that step on the proverbial ladder that I've shown to you to really step up in your spiritual walk with the Lord. But today I want to talk to you personally, and I want to share with you why I tithe. And by I mean Paula and I, our family, why we tithe, and why that's very important in our lives. Now, some of you might remember a few of these points. I shared these thoughts with you right after I came to become your new pastor, and I still continue these thoughts, and these are scriptural thoughts as to why I tithe and why it's important that every person gives to the Lord as He instructs us to be able to give. You found your place this morning in Malachi chapter 3. If you'll notice the paragraph kind of in the middle of that chapter from verse 6 down to verse 12, that's going to be our key text this morning. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background to understand what Malachi is saying here in this particular text. The children of Israel had a habit that they developed, and it was not a good habit. The habit that they developed was a consistency to disobey God. They rode the roller coaster. This was them. There were days they were serving God and trusted Him, and there were many days that they were not, and they were disobeying Him. Where Malachi is speaking here, it was a time of disobedience to the children of Israel, the nation that God had chosen. And so what God would do at this time is He would send prophets to His people. He would send prophets to warn them of the life that they were living, the lifestyle that they were living. And the prophet would warn them and tell them, listen, you need to repent of your sin. You need to repent of your wrongdoing. You need to return back to the Lord, and you need to live according to His word and according to His ways. And so Malachi comes on the scene, and he's sharing with the nation, listen, stop what you're doing. Stop being disobedient. Start living the way that you're supposed to be living. And so as Malachi shared his thoughts with them, as God had shared what to say, Malachi shared his thoughts with them, and instead of listening to the prophet, instead of obeying the prophet and repenting and returning back to the Lord, the nation of Israel decides to question Malachi. Hey, they decide to split some hairs with him and just get real technical in their response. But Malachi, he knew he had a job. He had a message to deliver, and he was going to be consistent in whatever he could to deliver that message in front of the people. And he basically says to them, if you look at all of those verses in that paragraph, he says, you bring back to the Lord the tithes and offerings that are rightly His. That was his message. Now, that's pretty blunt, isn't it? I mean, that's just putting it right where they were living. And he says, guys, stop. Bring the tithes and offerings back to the Lord that are rightfully His. And so what the nation really was doing is they were robbing God. They were robbing themselves, and they were robbing other people. That was what was happening. I wonder if we could just pause for just a second, and we could go all the way back from the Old Testament. We go all the way back to us right now. I just said to you that they were robbing God. They were robbing themselves. They were robbing others. I wonder today in this church, in this building, among us, could that be said of you today? Could that be said of your family? Could that be said of us today, that we too are robbing God, that we're robbing ourselves, that we're robbing others because we're not being faithful to give as God has instructed us to give? And so again, the question of my message this morning is, what will you give next Sunday? And I want to share with you just three reasons. And tonight in the evening service, I'm going to give you three more. There's really six reasons as to why I give and what we find even in this text. I'll share three with you this morning and then three with you tonight as I talk about this subject matter of tithing. The reason number one of why I give is because I want to be true to God's Word. I want to be true to the truth of God's Word. Let's just read the entire text for just a moment, because I believe that God's Word says that you and I are to tithe. We're to give in offerings and honor back to the Lord. So let's just read the entire paragraph, and I'll pick out a few verses as we continue on in the teaching this morning. Verse number 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? You are cursed with a curse, verse number 9. For you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then, verse 12, all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. If you look back in the Old Testament to a couple of verses, and notice these verses here on the screen this morning, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, every tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Verse 32, and every tithe of herd and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the herdsman's staff shall be holy to the Lord. You skip forward to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with the wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Now the word tithe comes from the Hebrew. It's a Hebrew word, and it simply means ten, or it means a tenth. And so what it translates in our meaning today is simply this. As God allows you and I to earn a living, to gain financially, we're to bring back and give at least 10% of our gross income on a regular basis back to God, honoring Him and worshiping Him. That's simply what that means and what the Bible instructs us to be able to do. It's really an act of worship for us. It's an act of worship that comes to God and says, God, thank you for giving me the health and strength to earn a living. Thank you for the financial resources that you've given me. Thank you for the blessings that you've given to me. And God, I gladly give this back to you with a grateful heart. I'm obedient to your word. I love you. I appreciate you. I am grateful today. And God, I give this back to you to be used in whatever capacity you deem appropriate so that the ministry of the gospel can go out, so that people can experience Christ and grow in Christ and take Christ to the world. That's what it really means. And that's what we're trying to do today. Now, there's a couple of phrases there that I want you to not miss. The idea of gross income. I believe a tithe and our giving should come from our gross income, and it's based on the principle of the first fruits that's mentioned there in the book of Proverbs. This is before taxes. This is before retirement. This is before any of our contributions going anywhere else. That gross amount is what we are to tithe off of. And then it's to be regular, meaning that if you get paid weekly, if you get paid biweekly, if you get paid once a month, if you have income coming into you, the idea is that you're giving back and you're doing it not just in a sense of when I can afford it, but you're doing it consistently to the Lord. Because what happens to us is many times we like to purchase things, we like to buy things, we sometimes find ourselves in a little bit of a financial crisis, and then we decide that if we can afford to, then we'll give to the Lord. Well, that's not what the idea of tithing is all about. That's not the idea of obeying God's word. It's the idea of us giving to the Lord first and then trusting Him to provide and take care of all the needs that we certainly have. And so a question for us this morning. Does God need our money? The answer to that is no. No, God doesn't need our money. God made everything. God owns everything. And so I think the simple fact is this, is that when we give back to the Lord and our financial gifts, and we do it cheerfully, and we do it faithfully, and we do it generously, and we do it globally, and we do it sacrificially, when we do those things, you know what it does? I believe it pleases Him. And you know what our desire should be in all of our lives? To be as faithful as we possibly can to His Word, to live as faithfully as we can to Him, to do what? To try and please Him. And I believe that when we are obedient to God's Word, I believe that when we are tithing and giving like we should, I believe that we are following what the Word of God says, and I believe it's pleasing to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want everything that I do to be pleasing to God. That's reason number one. Reason number two as to why I tithe because if I don't, I rob God. If I don't, the Bible says to us that I'm simply robbing Him. Notice verse number 8 with me this morning. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And the answer is in your tithes and your contributions. I believe the Bible clearly states to us that if we're not tithing and we're not giving like we should, then we simply are robbing God. Now, the word robbery is simply defined as this: the action of taking property unlawfully from a person or place by force. Taking it by force, doing it intentionally here. That's the idea of what robbery is all about. And I believe, again, that God is the owner of all things. God made all things. God owns all things. And we're to be managers of what God has given to us. And so if we're not tithing and we're not giving, as that manager, we're keeping it to ourselves and we're taking away from God and we're taking away from the work of God. And so as we're taking things away from God and we're taking things away from the ministry of God, then that has to resonate and say, that's not a good thing. It's just not. And God says, give back to me in worship. God says, give back so that ministry can continue. And if we're keeping to ourselves and not giving as God wants us to give, then what happens? We're robbing God of what is rightfully His. And that's not a good thing. You say, well, what's the statistics in church today? What's the average of people giving in church? And this is an article, a recent article by PushPay. And it's just simply 2019, a church report on giving. And they just surveyed congregations like ours all across the United States. And here's what they found in their research. They found that tithers only make up about 10 to 25% of any congregation. I didn't say they gave 10 to 25%. I'm saying 10 to 25%, one section of our building and less than one section would represent the only tithers that give 10% or more to the Lord. The research also says that on average, Christians give about 2.5% of their income to the church. About 2.5%. And so if you're talking about someone that has $100,000 in income, that means that only $2,500 is actually going to the Lord and going to the work of the ministry. This research goes on to say this, that of families that make $75,000 or more, only 1% donate a tenth of their income back to the church. Now, again, these statistics, if you want to look that article up or you want to find other articles, are going to be consistent across the board. And the idea is that people aren't tithing, people aren't being faithful to give, and people are wanting to keep more for themselves rather than returning to the Lord what He says that we're to return to Him. And by the way, I'll say this again in just a second, but He allows us to keep 9/10 and He only asks for 1/10. I think that's a pretty fair deal. And so you're finding across the board, are people robbing God? What? Pastor, are people robbing God? The answer to that is yes. Yes, in churches all across the country. So we have to ask ourselves, personally, individually, as a family unit, how do we measure up? Are we in those statistics from PushPay? Are we part of the 10 to 25%? Are we only given 2.5%? Where do we measure up? How are we committing robbery? I bet you didn't think you were going to be asked that question when you came to church today, were you? I've never stolen anything, Pastor. Pastor, I've never taken anything that wasn't mine. The Bible says to us, if we're not giving back to God as He instructs us to give, then we're committing robbery against Him. Dr. Tony Evans, He said this. He said, stealing from God is like robbing the local police station. It's not a good idea. How do we measure up? I tithe because if I don't, I'm robbing God, and that's not a good thing. Reason number three this morning is why I tithe. I tithe because I trust the Lord to provide. I tithe because I trust the Lord to provide. Notice verse 10 now as we go in our text. The Bible says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I like that phrase. Put me to the test, says the Lord. Now, you know, in our day and age, if somebody says, put me to the test, that's almost fighting words, isn't it? It's like, well, okay, you challenge me and I'll show you. Well, I don't think the Lord's trying to pick a fight with us, but I think he's trying to stir us up a little bit. And he says, hey, listen, you put me to the test. You do what I ask you to do, and you wait and see if I don't take care of you. And it's beyond anything that you could ever imagine. The church I pastored in Bowling Green, Kentucky, before coming here, I was preaching about tithing, and I was studying about tithing, and I was looking at several verses, and this verse just, I mean, it just caught a nerve with me. And it is really just over, and that phrase in there, put me to the test, says the Lord. Put me to the test, says the Lord. And boy, it just honestly convicted me, and it's like the Lord was just speaking to me. And so I came to the church, and I said to them, it was over an entire calendar year, and I said, listen, I said, I want us to tithe. I want us to be faithful in tithing. And not only do I want us to tithe, but I want us to increase our tithes by 20%. So that means if you're giving $500, now you're giving $600. If you're giving $100, now you're giving $120. And you say, that's pretty significant. Well, it is. But I just wanted to, kind of claim this verse. I wanted to put the Lord to the test, and I wanted to do it as a group of believers and see what God would do. Well, I can tell you that our people, they did. They tithe. They increased their giving. And not only did our weekly income go up, but then God decided he'd just add some blessings just because he can. It'd take too long to tell you the story this morning, but our parking lot was in need of sealing. Our parking lot was in need of restriping. You could barely see where the lines were to park, and there were some cracks that were starting to develop. And because of a random act of kindness, in a sense, that the church did prior to the year that I was challenging the church to tithe and increase their tithing, almost a year later, kind of an anonymous gift out of nowhere comes and pays for the entire parking lot to be sealed and striped. It didn't cost the church budget anything. We didn't have to receive anything. God just took care of it in a way that we had just tried to be a blessing to a family almost 12 months prior. In addition to that, I started seeing envelopes come in the mail randomly that had checks in it that people would send. There was some random gifts, financial gifts that were given to the church. I had nothing to do with that. I didn't put anything out there related to that. And over again, what did God do? God says, put me to the test and I'll take care of you. Toward the end of the year, we were receiving trying to receive a large offering for our missions giving. And we had a goal set. And again, our people were so gracious, and they were so faithful to the Lord, and they tithed and they increased their giving by 20%, and they gave to that offering. And when they gave to that offering, we not only met our goal at 100%, but the offering was 160% of what the offering goal was. 60% in addition to the 100. And did God take care of us? Did we see ministry take place? Did we see families change? Did we see lives impacted for the gospel? Did we see God prove himself to a body of believers that said, yes, I'm tithing, I'm increasing my tithe, and God is more than taking care of us? Bonuses that people got at work that they had no idea they were going to get. Raises, job promotions that people got, and they had no idea it was coming. And they graciously said, Pastor, God bless me with this. I'm going to give part of this back. I'm going to tithe to this offering, and I'm going to allow God to get the glory for it. And he did. He did. Why? Because we simply put him to the test. One writer said this. He says, if we don't trust God to care for us, whatever we do trust will prove futile. People who lovingly give tithes and offerings to God find that whatever is left over goes much further and brings much greater blessing. Some of you have been consistent tithers for a number of years, and thank you for doing so. And I guarantee you, if we took the time this morning, there would be story after story after story after story after story after story of somehow God took the same amount of money that you receive every single month and somehow paid even more of the expenses that you didn't know how in the world you were going to be able to pay. Say, Pastor, is that magic? No, sir. That's the faithfulness and the blessing of God. That's what that is. You say, Pastor, are you telling me that somehow God can take $1 and make two out of it? I'm telling you, I don't know exactly how it happens, but I've seen it happen in my life that God meets needs when people are consistent to honor Him. That's what I find out, and that's what I see. As we understand that this morning, we understand what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God's promised to us that He's going to be faithful. And by the way, He's not providing for you out of my resources. He's not providing for me out of the church's resources. He's not providing for me out of this charitable income or trust that's been set up. He's providing for us out of His riches in glory. You think He can handle us? I think He can handle us. But He wants us to put our faith in Him and do what's first and do what's right and trust Him to provide the rest. That's what He says. You see, the Bible says that we're saved by faith, but then the Bible also says that the just shall live by faith. Everything we do is by faith. There's a correlation I want you to understand and see this morning. And the correlation simply is this, and watch this. Whatever our hands do, or whatever our hands give, or whatever action our hands take, it's going to come from a direct correlation to what our head tells our hands to do. If we need to pick something up, our head is sending, our brain is sending the signal and the information, bend down and pick this up. Our brain this morning is saying, I'm praising the Lord. Okay? So our hands are doing what our head is telling our hands to do. Well, what's controlling our head? What our head thinks and what our brain not acknowledges and what our brain wants to do is going to come from where? It's going to come from our heart. It's going to come from our heart. What our heart believes, what our heart puts its faith in, what our heart trusts, what our heart wants to do more than anything else is going to send a signal to the brain, and the brain is going to understand it, and the brain is going to acknowledge it, and then the brain is going to put action into our body so that we will do what is right. And we all understand that, don't we? It's pretty simple. But let's go backwards for a second when it comes to this idea of tithing. If our hands aren't giving like we should, if our hands aren't writing the check, if our hand is not putting the cash, if our hand, our fingers are not tapping the buttons on our phone or on our tablet to give online, if our hands aren't doing those things, then it's the direct result that our head is not telling it to do so. Our brain is not acknowledging that tithing is important. Our brain is not acknowledging that God's Word says that we're to give. And our brain is not acknowledging that because our heart says it's not important. Our heart says, I want to keep it. Our heart says, I need this money somewhere else. Our heart says, greed. Our heart says, lust. Our heart says, sin. You say, Pastor, you're stretching it. Will a man rob God? You're saying, Pastor, you're telling me I'm robbing God by not tithing? Pastor, you're telling me there's sin in my heart because I'm not giving? No, I'm not telling you that. That's what the Word of God says. It's what the Bible says. And because this is what the Bible says, and I want to be true to God's Word, I tithe. Because this is what the Bible says, if I don't, I'm robbing God. And because this is what the Bible says, I tithe because I'm trusting God to provide for me, and I'm putting Him to the test. I wonder today what you're doing. James chapter 4, verse 17 says this, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. So really, it has nothing to do with your hands. Has a little bit to do with your head, but it has everything to do with your heart. Because a heart that says, God, I love you, will come to church every time that you possibly can. A heart that says, I love you, will be involved and serve wherever I possibly can. A heart that says, I love you, will study God's Word, as Michael shared with us a couple of weeks ago. A heart that loves you says, God, I want to give as you tell me to give. Thank you for the 9/10 that you allow me to keep. And God, I gladly give you back this 10th in worship and honor of you. That's what a heart says. I wonder today what your heart is saying. Is it right with God? Is it in tune with God's word? Perhaps you've not even thought about this. Maybe you've never even heard it explained in this kind of capacity. But I challenge you today to make your heart right, so that your head will think right, and so that your hands will act right.